It is time to head down to Surprise, Arizona. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider from Surprise, who John Sherman said earlier he was sorry he missed you, Vern, so he's coming back down to Arizona to see you. That's got to make you happy. The owner of the franchise is coming back specifically to see you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully me and this quality pitching remain down here in Arizona. Yeah, that was very nice. I saw John. He didn't see me. The press box is located right next to the owner's box. So I saw my fair share of John Sherman. I tried to give him a wave, but he was locked into the game, as you know. He's all in on the team, that's for sure.
And that's good. I mean, you want him engaged. Did you try to tip your cap or anything like that? Like somebody, they say a tip of the cap to somebody, maybe he could see you that way?
Yeah, I tipped it out the window and kind of did the waggle. You know,
right.
that you do when you're acknowledging the crowd when you're named to your first All-Star team. I gave him the waggle, but he was, again, too locked in on Brady Singer carving him up for a second straight outing.
Talking with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider from Surprise. For only $39.99 a month, the Royals Fountain Pass will guarantee you access inside the K for every single regular season home game this year. Guaranteed standing room ticket to every game, including high demand and weekend games, with the ability to upgrade your ticket an hour before first pitch. So, Vern, you've been down there now for about a full week. You heard us talking about Francisco Cortez earlier in spring training. Any update on him from the week that you've been down there right now?
Again, it's just hard to lock these minor leaguers down. Whoever really you're into scouting, getting to know a little bit better. You go to these backfields, and they're called the Clover Fields.
So yeah.
You've got four different backfield games normally going on, and you know, you're looking for Cortez, and then all of a sudden you see Chandler Champlain, and I'm saying, all right, I'm going to dial into the young righty. Now, honestly, Bob, I've been pretty focused on the pitching, but like I told you guys earlier in the week, it's very Costanza-like. You see Cortez's car when you arrive, and it's still there when you're leaving the ballpark. So the kid's putting in the work, that's for sure.
It is definitely wild to hear about that. And you mentioned the pitching, Vern. The other night, the Royals were playing the Cubs. It was on television. So I was watching Alec Marsh go out there and deal.
Yeah.
Like, am I like buying into spring training hype, or is this guy like legit right now?
I think he's always had the goods, just needed to learn that what he has is enough. And I think that happened last season. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of the credit begins with him, of course, with the work that he's put in throughout the offseason, his willingness to be coached. But I think a lot of the credit does go to the coaching staff with the way that they handled him at the end of last season. This was a guy that was struggling to get deep in a game, so they put an opener in front of him. Take those top four hitters in that first inning away from Alec Marsh. You give them to James MacArthur or whatever reliever you want to bring to open the game. And then Marsh comes in the second. He's facing the bottom of the order, but he can go through that lineup twice, maybe three times, and learn that my stuff is good enough to get big league hitters out on a consistent basis. That confidence carried into the offseason, and we're really seeing it on full display out here in spring. This is a guy right now that I would say is in a battle with Daniel Lynch and Jordan Lyles for that number five spot in the rotation. But even if he doesn't win it, this is a guy that can come out of the bullpen. I'm not saying make him a reliever, but if that happens, I think he could be a great reliever, a Wade Davis type of reliever. He's got it all. Upstairs, demeanor-wise, build-wise, and he's the talk of camp right now. So I think he's on the team. I talked to him last night on Vern's On Deck show, had him and Brady Singer on, and you can find that on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vern, you at a circus?
Am I at a circus?
Yeah, you hear like the little horn behind it and the whistling and everything.
Well, that's Rusty.
Oh,
that's Rusty Kuntz.
Yeah,
he's always riding around on his.
Yeah, was it a bike horn? Is that what that was?
Yeah,
bicycle horn.
Yeah, Rusty's been riding this bike for about a decade out here, and
I was wondering what that was. But Vern, you're always really good at judging kind of the temperature of the team, and you know, kind of how they're acting and the expectations, and do they finally feel it yet? Do they feel like they're competitive and you know not a doormat as far as the American League is concerned? What's your feeling on this particular team?
The thing that has jumped out to me, and I touched on it last night, it's the biggest storyline, headline that I'm taking from my first week out here in Surprise, and it is the clarity in which these guys are speaking about their goals. Bink, you've been in enough clubhouses. Bob, you've been around enough professional athletes to know they all know what to say. They all know the right thing to say. And if you look in their eyes, you can see if they really mean it. You know, are they just regurgitating what they've heard players on TV say in the past? Are they regurgitating what they learned from Bull Durham? Do they really mean it? And especially on the pitching side, you know, talking with Cole Ragans, who his ability to handle all of the attention of Jeff Passan writing about a scout saying that he's a left-handed Jacob deGrom, the way that Cole Ragans handles all of that, digests all of that, and still spits out, man, it's about winning. You know, we can talk about Cy Young. We could talk about leading the league in strikeouts. If we win, the rest will take care of itself. And I'm looking deep into this dude's soul. He means it with every ounce of his being. I'm talking with Brady Singer last night about the postseason and his desire to get there. He says, I want to feel the pressure. I can't remember many athletes, period, when they talk about reaching the mountaintop of their sport. They talk about wanting to feel the pressure. Guys talk about the spotlight, talk about the attention, talk about the competition. Brady wants to know what that pressure's like. And speaking of pressure, he pushed back last night when I said, hey, how nice is it to have Lugo and Waka and Ragans and no longer feel like you got to lead the team or else the team has no chance? He says, I honestly still want to feel that way. I think we all should feel that way and have a nice little friendly competition where we're trying to one-up one another amongst the starting pitchers. You watch the way that Michael Waka moves around the clubhouse, the way that Alec Marsh talks about winning. You can see that starts at the top with his coaching staff, with J.J. Piccolo, and really with the influx of the new veterans that they've brought in. So the clarity in which they talk about the team goals, it's not, hey, we hope to be in October. It's not, they mean it. You know, it is, we're going to win. We are a winning team. We're going to be in it late August into September. So really, and a lot of it's coming from the pitching side, because when I, you know, talk with these young hitters, the Vinnies and Masseys and MJs and Bobbies, you know, they're saying the right thing, but if you look deep, if you look deep into their eyes, you can see the quiet part. You can see them still wondering, can I? They have confidence, but there's still that self-doubt that all of us have. And you can understand it for guys that haven't put together a winning season, haven't put together a full 162-game season. You know, the young hitters on this team are saying the right thing, but I think they need to prove it to themselves. On the other hand, the pitching staff, they say the right things, and they know they're going to follow through this season. And to be honest with you, if I could choose one, I want my pitchers uber confident even more so than my hitters, because the hitters have Bobby, the hitters have Salvi, the hitters have Renfro that can at least hold it down for a while hopefully the pitching's getting you through the month of April.
Vern, is the offense strong enough right now to match that pitching?
I don't believe so. But it could be with a confidence boosting April. Bobby's a star. Salvi's on a Cooperstown trajectory right now. You feel confident in Vinny Pasquantino, but again, that brings us back to those young guys, the Drew Waters, the Michael Masseys, the MJ Melendez, the Freddie Fermin, the Michael Garcia. For as well as they look out here in spring, a rough first 2 weeks of the season could lead to a similar spiral as we've seen over the past few Aprils, right? Going back the past 2022, 2020, the past two Aprils, where the offense is just gripping it a little bit too tight because they know they need to carry the team. They need to pick up a lackluster pitching staff. Now, the pitching staff is better, so hopefully that buys some time for these guys to build up their confidence. But, you know, Michael Masse looks outstanding out here in spring. But he did again last season. And then when he started off the regular season, kind of came out of the gates limping, and it took a while for him to rebuild that confidence. It took almost to the second half of the season. You can say the same thing about MJ Melendez. You can say the same thing about Nick Prado. You hope that the influx of quality veteran pitching, not to mention the upgrades we're expecting from Singer and Reagans this season, would help alleviate some of the pressure on those young bats. But it's only one guy in that batter's box, and who knows what's running through his head. So, no, I don't believe they have enough offense. And look, you know, Hunter Renfro's hit at least 20 home runs in every full season he's played in the big league. So that also should be a stabilizing factor. But those first 2 weeks, wins and losses be damned. I'm talking about individual performances. If they can just tread water, I think the offense can be enough. They certainly have the talent. They certainly have the confidence. But in those quiet moments, when they're falling asleep, when they're getting up in the morning, when they're taking a shower, and that quiet voice, that self-doubting voice in their head, they need to silence that, and the only way you can do that is by executing at a high level in games that matter starting in April.
All right, Vern, you mentioned the winning and all that kind of stuff. I feel like that's the beauty of the Central Division this year. No matter which camp you go to, they all have the expectation that they can win this thing. Do the Royals have that expectation that the Central is ours, so to speak?
Oh, without question.
Good.
But, like you said, that confidence, I think, is in Glendale at the White Sox camp, down in Florida with the Tigers and the Twins, and out in Goodyear with the Cleveland Guardians. I think everyone is pretty confident that they can win the division. But I'm not in those clubhouses. And again, maybe this is just me being a baseball nerd, but I don't think it is. Man, you can see who means what they say. And I think this goes across all sports. So when the Tigers say it, when the White Sox say it, I know I'm skeptical from afar. I'd like to look in those guys' eyes and see how much they truly mean it. Now, I believe when the Guardians talk about it, when the Twins talk about it, because they've done it. I believe when Waka, when Singer, when Reagans, when Lugo, when they talk about it, I believe it. When Vinny, when Bobby, when MJ, when those young hitters say it, I can see the self-doubt deep into those eyes. So, yes, when the coaching staff talks about it, the monikers that you're hearing from a lot of guys inside the Royals clubhouse, win, W-I-N, what's important now, today?
Ooh,
today, you hear that a lot.
Now? I like that.
What about today? And a lot of that comes back to Paul Hoover, Matt Quatrero. This coaching staff, you're really starting to see their fingerprints on the roster, on the clubhouse, on really the group of guys. I mean, earlier in the week, they put together a 30-40-man team golf outing. That's the kind of stuff that ultimately benefits the guys in the long run, because when you're all out having a good time together, when you're able to bring that many guys out to do something together, you start to build those bonds, you build those friendships, and when you do that, you're willing to sacrifice your statistics. You're willing to hit the ball to the right side to advance the runner, even though it's not going to help any of your averages or your OPS. And you know, when you build that bond, not only are you willing to sacrifice, you're willing to hold one another accountable, you're willing to have difficult conversations, and as we all saw in that 2014-2015 run, when it truly is a brotherhood, man, the city can feel that, and it becomes almost as if we're all playing together.
Vern, before we let you go, I want you to read a text. I want to read a text to you. It's from the 816, okay. And it says, "Vern makes me want to watch baseball. He makes it sound so darn interesting." I think that's the greatest compliment that you could get, my friend, because you're here talking about baseball, which has kind of become a niche sport in America. We know how football is. And you got somebody go, "Man, I love listening to Vern. I want to watch the game." So tip of the cap to you, my friend, for that one.
Well, that's very nice, and I was listening to a great conversation earlier that you guys had with John Sherman, and as a Jackson County resident, I know I'll be voting yes, and honestly, Bob and Jay, I think it's pretty commendable. Neither one of you guys are really in Jackson County benefiting from it, and yet you guys are out there Waving the flag, fighting the good fight, so keep it up.
Yeah, you got it, my friend, because we know how important these franchises right. are. Look, in Kansas City, you never have to look at an airport terminal, you know, departure board to find out what gate you're at. You see people in Royals and Chiefs gear. They are what our city is all about, what we identify with, and I don't want that to change.
I'm with you. I'll be there at the ballot box.
All right, we'll see you we'll talk to you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend.
Have fun with
Appreciate
those birds,
thanks, guys.
Vern.
See ya.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Josh Vern, you're a Royals insider. I hate birds, too. I absolutely loathe
birds.
All those,
like, this,
yeah, well, spring training.
If you had the sights that said that, it makes it like spring training.
It is. Spring training
you hear
down
Rusty's
there.
The horn.
Right. Everything's
the birds,
going on behind Vern as they're getting ready to practice. It's great.
It sounded great. It sounded remind me of spring.
From the 913, Vern gets me going. So freaking ready for the season. From the 816, I agree. Vern gets me pumped. Yeah, if you're not walking away like George Jefferson after that, feeling really good about things,
especially
man.
Especially Vern with birds. And
it's wonderful. It is fantastic. And for only $39.99 a month, the Royals Fountain Pass will guarantee you access inside the K. You can see Vern for every single Royals regular season home game this year. Guaranteed standing room ticket to every game, including high demand and weekend games, with the ability to upgrade your ticket an hour before first pitch. So check out that Royals Fountain Pass.